This is a 3-part episode. Come back next Wednesday for part 3.
I can remember walked into the Legion, this Vietnam vet looked at me and goes, "I never thought I'd see it again in my life." And I said, "I thought I would never see it again in my life because of your life." It's like, that's how fucked politics is. They don't care. They don't care about the sons, the daughters. They don't care. They line their pockets. They do it for whatever reason.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
And they sent me out basically on a timeout. It was like our TBI protocol. And I was trying to re-enlist, and so like I had some complications with that because I was trying to go into our EOD and then our MARSOC, which is our Special Forces. And the package looked great until I got blown up. And then it was like, whoa, we have to clear you medically. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, like, cool. Like, I'm at the main base. Like, let's do this. And, you know, my buddy Evan, yeah, I told him when I was leaving, I was like, hey, man. I was like, you know the fucking deal. He's like, don't worry about it, brother. He's like, we're fucking good kill people. He's like, this is what we're going to do. And I said, don't let off the fucking pedal. You know, because my squad in particular, you would wear those little skeleton face masks.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, the Taliban would get on these, like, walkie-talkies, basically. And my interpreter would be like, Mr. Pat, they know you're leaving. And I'm like, how the fuck do they know you're leaving? They call you the death squad. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, your face mask, they call you the death squad. That's badass. And so, like, they knew, like, who my squad was. Yeah. And they knew that if they came at us, it was on.
Yeah.
And so, like, and we loved it. We were like, oh, fucking bring badass. It. Bring it, dude.
Death squad.
And,
yeah, like, so, Ghost from Call of Duty. Like, to put it into, like, people, you know. Like
the little black mask. Right. That's what we were. Fuck them. And, it's psychological warfare. Like, some dudes, like, paint their face. Like, cool, dude, whatever. Let's get after it. Wow. Yeah. And, so I got blown up pretty bad, and I was trying to re-enlist. And, you know, two kids that I took over there, Cooper, who I'm still friends with to this day. And, I can see his face right now. I remember telling his mom right before we left, because these two dudes got to us, like, right before we left for Afghanistan. And they were both 17. Like, enlisted early.
Yeah.
They were going to turn 18 in Afghanistan. And I just remember telling them, their parents, like, y'all bring your kid home. Like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to put this re-enlistment package together and all this bullshit. And because I was going into the Special Forces, they kind of like threw me in with this colonel while I was over there. And so now I'm in the JSOC, which is like Joint Operations Command. And he's trying to execute every option because they were like, we got to send you back to Lejeune. And I was like, no. What do you mean, no? I was like, fuck you. I'm not leaving my Marines.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going back and I'm going to bring my Marines home and I'm going to be the last guy out, like, period. And
what'd it say?
Okay, cool. You can't reenlist. I was like, all right, sweet. Going back.
Yeah.
Put me on a bird. Going back.
And I leave him. Yeah.
And so, like, my original 4-year contract was expired, well, going to expire before we'd even deployed. So I extended for this. So, like, I when the reenlistment package fell apart, like, I knew I was going to come home mid-August, early August at the best. And August 31st, I was out of the United States Marine Corps. I was going home, back to Harrisburg.
Yeah.
And I can remember the day that I flew back in. And so 3rd Platoon, which is the platoon I was attached to, you know, I told you that my squad was down at the schoolhouse. It was my squad and one of the other squads. And then we had another fighting position, patrol base, like at the very top of the area, of like 6-7, probably 8 clicks away from where I live, was the other half of the platoon. And I can remember to get from that patrol base to where I lived, we had to cross this huge open area called the parking lot. It's a huge field. And there's a single elevator road that ran down the middle of it for, like, you know, the local traffic. And this other squad was crossing it, doing a patrol or whatever, and they got hit. They got hit pretty hard. And one of the Marines, Francis, he got hit pretty hard. A bunch of Afghan KIAs, you know, it was going sideways quick.
Yeah.
And, like, I flew on a Black Hawk, landed at our company patrol base, and I was in a truck, and I was coming back to my patrol base to get back to my guys. And I can hear this all going on the radios. And I turned my radio on, like an internal radio, into my buddy Evan. And I was like, because I didn't hear them going out yet. And I'm like, and this is a couple minutes. And, like, our reaction time to something like that is, like, half a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Evan, I was like, it's fucking bad. And he's like, they won't let us leave. And that's all he kept saying, they won't let us leave. I'm like, what the fuck? And I guess it was, like, an issue or some bullshit on the admin side. And finally, Evan was like, fuck you, we're leaving. And, like, that kid got fucked up. Could have died. Should have died. And they kept my Marines back for some admin bullshit.
Some just nonsense.
Some bullshit. And, yeah, that's the downside of war right there.
Yeah.
Is, like, you would think it's pretty cut and dry, but it's still so political, so full of bureaucrat bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, dude laying in the field bleeding out, getting shot at by machine guns. Like, fuck.
It's a no-brainer, send
him. Fuck, like, fuck all your...
Let the dogs off the leash, let's go.
Like, I wasn't there. I'm not gonna, you know, Monday quarterback it too much, but, like,
Yeah,
that was one that hit hard. And then a really hard one was, we were getting close to, like, our end, like, real close. Mm-hmm. Took the boys out. We were doing this patrol. Like, and this is how fucked up the Marine Corps is. They have a drone, right, that has a Hellfire on said drone. It's up there, like, 15,000 feet, whatever. Yeah. And, like, it could read the label on a soda can. It's clear as day, and it'll say Coca-Cola for, like, 15,000 fucking feet, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we see the enemy emplacing an IED. Can you go check it out? Like, let me get this straight. You want me to walk up to an IED to tell you it's an IED when you have a Hellfire on this fucking shoot them? Like, what are we doing here? And they're like, politics and bureaucracy. And so, like, all right, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah.
So we load the boys up. We go out on this patrol. And to this intel kind of then swung once we were set. So we were expecting contact from, you know, our south. And we're there, and we're kind of, like, set up and how I wanted everybody set up. And we're just literally bait, just waiting. And that was, like, a daily thing. Like, we were cool with that. We joked about it.
Yeah,
we were cool with it, but, like, you had to be. And So it swung and they were like, hey, it's going to come from the north.
Okay.
Like, what the fuck? So we spin real quick and like I break my element up and I send half the guys over, like push them over a little bit. And we're trying to like box them in to what they call an L shape. And I take the other guys, and as a squad leader, you know, the only guys that ever saw combat in my squad, like real combat prior to this deployment were me and Evan. So the deal is I walked point because I told my Marines, I'm not going to take you anywhere. I'm not willing to go. Hmm. So like, I will walk point. And my buddy Clark that was next to me, he was our forward observer. So he controlled a lot of like our artillery and mortars. And then Evan was always in the back. So if we got split, at least I was with half and he hopefully was half.
Yep.
I got made it. Sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Rarely worked, but yeah.
It makes sense. But yeah. Yeah,
made sense. And they walked up and, you know, we're walking down this main road and it's getting dark. And we never really got shot at it dark because enemy didn't have night vision. We're walking down. And man, I can just remember watching those tracers. And I mean, like coming at my face.
Holy shit.
And I'm just like, whoa, fuck. And like getting it. Just tracers straight down this road, right into us. Bails off. And, you know, we're trying to get a head count. I'm trying to get it going. I'm trying to see where my other element is. You know, I got a lot of shit going on. And I look back on the road and I can see a body in the road. I'm like, fuck. And so my corpsman, Doc, he's right behind me. And I'm like, Doc, I said, we got to fucking do this, bud. Let's fucking go. And I said, and he's kind of giving me like this 1,000-yard kind of stare. And I kind of just grabbed him by his Kevlar. I was like, right fucking now, Doc.
Yeah.
And so we jumped up on this road. And one of our Afghans jumped up on the road with us with a belt-fed machine gun and just started laying it down just to give us enough time to get this Marine off the road. And, you know, it was Lance Corporal Earl. And he's fucked up. He was hit pretty hard. Went in right above his collarbone, slid down around behind his body armor, and then exited. So he was shot on the looking his left side, and then exited his bottom right. Massive bleeding, bleeding everywhere. And Doc and I are working on him, and you know I'm trying to call in the medevac. You know, we're trying to get in. Safe-ish in this firefight. We're pinned down. We can't really go anywhere. My maneuvering element is kind of too far away to maneuver onto him. And, you know, we're working on Earl and we're doing everything we got. And he flatlined. He's dead. And Doc's like, he's gone. I was like, fucking bring him back.
Yeah.
Fuck, let's go, Doc. Right. You know, and he's just looking at me. And I'm like, we're not giving up. And, you know, we give him a sternum rub and he, and he like comes back. I'm like, okay. And like, you know, we're keeping, and I'm pretty sure that I even like checked the bird off one time, which means like,
yeah,
the medevac helicopters are coming like mock Jesus and they're going to come into a hot LZ, which means there's still a gunfight going on. But like this dude is urgent and he has to get the fuck out of here. Well, if he dies, he's no longer urgent. So like now it's okay. Like let the firefight calm down.
So you called him off like, hey,
I just like checked him off. I'm like, hey, you know, hold up.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And he come back and I'm like, bah, bah, bah. I'm like, get the fuck here. Yeah, I was like, he's alive. And they're like, what? And I was like, dude, he died. He's not dead. Like, hurry the fuck up.
Yeah.
And, you know, another squad come out of where the schoolhouse where we lived. Reggie, he brought down his boys. And I was like, you handle the gunfight. I'm going to handle the fucking casualty. Like, we got to keep him alive. And, yeah, we wrote up Doc Dishman there. He got a Bronze Star with a V for that day. My lieutenant wrote me up for an award that day. I got the Navy commendation with a V for that day. Lance Corporal Earl died 3 times on the bird, died once in hospital. I think they said like there's like 7 pints of blood or something in the human body. I think he took like, they said 5.5. Got him all patched up. A year later, he's back in Marsha.
You shitting me?
That's what he got.
You shitting me? Yep. Oh my god!
Swear to god, that was his third Purple Heart. We told him all the time. We were like, "Dude, you're the unluckiest, bastard in the whole world."
I didn't think I was gonna go that way.
Yeah, patched them all up. Yeah, he went back down range. He went back right to Marsha, right where we were at, which is not real common in the Marine Corps, but it's just where they ended up. And yeah, so I mean, like those are the people talk about the ones that haunt you.
Yeah.
That haunts me. The look on Doc Dishman's face.
The first time when he said he's...
No, when he, like, when he was just kind of like frozen.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That haunts me. The call back on the radio when I checked the bird, that haunts me. I don't think it'll ever go away, you know? Yeah, you know, then you fast forward a couple of weeks after that, my buddy Evan just had a
Meathead, right?
Meathead was a different dude. Okay. Evan.
Sorry, Evan, no disrespect by Evan.
Oh, you can disrespect him. He'll be all right. So Evan just had a kid. Right. And there's a rule when you're in Marine Corps infantry. You don't ever talk about getting hit at all. Like physically.
Yeah.
And this dumbass, he just had this kid, I don't even know if it was like a week or something, or maybe it was like just about to be born. I can't really remember. And he's like, we're in the same intersection that Earl got shot at.
Yeah.
Like we went there every day to get into a gunfight pretty much. So like we're going back there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, I'd love to just get like clipped. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Evan. You know the rule. And he's like, not like dead or like fucked up for real, but like just enough, bro. Like I just had a kid. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, come on. Like, we've made it this far.
Yeah.
Like we've got like 3 weeks left. Like, let's fuck this up. Sure as shit. Go down there. Setting up. And it's weird. You go to combat. When you're in combat, you get like this sixth sense about you. And we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We could feel it. I'm like, all right, here it comes. Get ready. And we're all just kind of standing around, and it came. And so Evan took a machine gun this time. He's on bipod. So he's laying on his belly in the middle of this road, and, like, his right hand is, like, I don't know, inch from his face.
Yeah.
And he takes a round right into his fucking hand. And it goes up his hand, up into his arm. And so, like, I'm moving bodies across the road and, like, trying to coordinate how we're going to maneuver on this element to go kill these dudes. And, like, I hear my 240 go quiet. I don't really think about it. And it's quiet longer than what I anticipated. And I glance back over and all I hear is, a fucking hit. And I was like, the fuck you are.
Like, yeah, it's like, so bad. I bet you were.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had a picture of me. I'm standing in the middle of this dirty road, dusty road, right? And, like, he's laying there. And I'm standing over top of him.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't see me from my knees down because all the enemy bullets are hitting on the road and all the dust is coming up. So, like, my knees are gone. And I don't remember where the picture is. And I'm screaming at Evan.
Yeah.
Like.
You're ready to beat his ass.
Yeah, I was pissed. I was furious. And so we get him off the road. Yeah. And Doc's looking at him. And I'm like, can he get home? And he's like, nah, bro. He needs a medevac. And I was like, no. He's like, yes, Pat. Like, he needs it. Like, his arms, his bones are shattered. Like, damn. And I'm like, fuck him.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine. And he's like, Doc, give me morphine. Give me more. And I was like, Doc, that's where I draw my line. He suffers. Do not give him morphine.
Oh, man.
And meanwhile, we're still getting shot.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, this is all happening.
Live, right.
Yeah. And so, like I said.
There's no break. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's go kill these dudes. Like, so at least stop shooting at us. Yeah. And so we could deal with Evan. And so I was like, I split the group again, and I said, okay, I'm going to take half the guys. We're going to hit that house, and, like, we're going to try to find these dudes. Oh, well, you know, we go in there. They already bailed out the back, so it is what it is. We're coming back. Doc hits him with morphine. I'm like, Doc, I told you. And he's like, bro. He's like, I got a code. I was like, fuck your code. I said, I got a code, too. You don't talk about getting clipped. Look what happened. An inch higher, it would have ripped his head off. Literally, and an inch is, like, generous.
Wow.
We're talking like probably a half inch. Would have ripped it. It would have hit him in the eyeball.
Whole different story.
Yeah. It hit him in the eyeball. Hit him right in the mouth. Wow. He'd be dead.
Yeah.
And but in true Marine Corps fashion, now we're just kind of like hanging out, and he's sitting there, and, you know, he's all there. Birds are coming in. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take all your cigarettes. And the one dude's like, yeah, I'm going to take his air mattress. I want his headphones. You know, he's still got his radio and he's all out of it. And he's like, you guys realize I'm still here, right? And we're like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're going to Germany. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And so the bird lands. And then, you know, Doc's like, I'll take him. I was like, I'll take him. You know, it's my best friend.
Yeah.
I said, I'll take him to the bird. So we walk over there. And it's his right hand. Like, get him close to the bird. And I'm like, all right, bro, I love you. I'm like, I guess you get to see your kid. He's like, you know, he's crying. He's all fucked up on morphine.
Yeah.
And so, like, I go, and I put my hand up to give him a high five, and his dumb ass puts his hand up. But bow! And he just, like, looks at me, and he, like, goes completely white. He's like, ow. He, like, just falls back into the Blackhawk. And, but, yeah, this dude, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And, like, to think that's 2010, it's 2026, so we're talking, like, 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
I blinked my eyes, and it was heartbeat ago. Heartbeat ago. And a lot of guys are like that. And it just, it was a defining time. And then you got to think, that's a 20-year war. I've seen dads over there that their sons are going to war with their dads.
Damn.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
Couldn't, like, what do you do? Like, imagine being the mom.
Right.
Yeah, like,
that's crazy to think about.
Like, your husband's gone, you're like, man, fuck, gotta hold down the fort.
Yeah.
And then he's on his, like, fifth deployment, and his son's going on his first deployment. And they're deploying together.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, it's insane. And then you watch that abomination of the Biden administration and how they handled Afghanistan. How they handled
everything. Yeah. The pullout and everything.
They were the modern day Vietnam vets.
Yeah,
just a lot more prolonged, you know. I've known enough Vietnam vets that when, like, Saigon fell, they fell away. When Afghanistan just was, I don't even know what you want to call it, given over to the guys that we were trying to kill for the last 20 years. I can remember walked into the Legion, this Vietnam vet looked at me and goes, I never thought I'd see it again in my life. And I said, I thought I would never see it again in my life because of your life. It's like, that's how fucked politics is. They don't care. They don't care about the sons, the daughters. They don't care. They line their pockets. They do it for whatever reason. Fortunately, now we have enough veterans. And I think that's all it was, to, like, try to start, like, unfucking the VA. And I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I use Lebanon VA Hospital, and I mainly go to the New Cumberland Clinic, and I'm very fortunate that I've never had issues at the clinic level. You know, the upper level, when it comes to the disability and stuff, it's always a fight. It's always a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Very fortunate I didn't have any of that. I got buddies that got guns in their mouths because they're getting 10% disability.
Jesus.
And they're so fucked in the head and their knees and their back, and they, like, can't get a job. And so they put a gun in their mouth and they want to kill themselves. Because the VA is like, oh, we'll pay you $200 a month.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked.
I don't understand that at all.
It's crazy.
People are willing to sacrifice everything, their life, you know, everything, put everything on the line. And then when they come home and they want help, they need help, you know, they're reaching out for help, you just say, fuck them. You get the bare bones, you know.
And then it's a, like, it is a fucking...
You're fighting over there, and then you're fighting here just to try to get...
I think the fight here is worse.
Damn.
Because at least over there, like, we could go find somebody and kill them. I guarantee you, if you took a poll on vets in America, hey, if you could find some dude at the VA, yeah, fuck yeah, there'd be violence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But,
right.
Like, it is nuts. Like, it's... And I attribute it to a bunch of factors. Again, this is just Pat's personal take.
I like that. Pat's personal take.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I don't misrepresent, you know,
yeah,
hundreds of thousands of dudes, but I'm pretty sure that, like, most of them should agree with some of this. But, like, you know, the VA system was broken, and now you have, again, generations. And not, like, you know, they weren't just shipping over, like, a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there. We're shipping hundreds of thousands of troops.
Yeah.
So, like, the return on that investment is massive over on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you have this huge swell of bodies going into this broken system. So it forced the hand to be revamped and it started. And then, you know, you talk about early in the war in the early 2000s, like, cell phones and social media. And, like, yeah, that was a thing, but it wasn't like today. And so as that grows,
yeah,
and as... right, wrong, and indifferent occur in real time across the world to anybody that wants to see it. Like, you got to deal with it now.
Yeah.
Because it's in the public space. You know, back when Vietnam guys got home, he had a newspaper.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe, you know? And so, you have those two contributing factors. And then you have the people that like came back, didn't know how to continue to serve. So they wanted to give back folds of honor, you know, all the way on down to the little guys, Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania, who's a local Central Pennsylvania nonprofit veteran association that, you know, I've raised thousands of dollars for. They build a group of tiny homes, take homeless veterans, rehabilitate them, both physically, both mentally, prepare them to re-enter society and to contribute to society. So, like, you have all these things. And, you know, everybody listening to this podcast can probably think of four or five other veteran nonprofits that they know of, and they're all important.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Now some are less important in my opinion than others because they're doing it for the wrong reasons, and we won't even get into that.
You got to be in it for the right reason.
Yeah.
You have to be.
And but so like you have this the money that moves around, like it's staggering, you know, for some of these nonprofits, and that's competition. And so like as you see one starting to explode and get bigger, again, it's all happening in real time.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a donor over here and you're watching this one, well, fuck, I'm putting in, you know, a couple hundred thousand. Well, I'm gonna make that a million now because I can, because I want mine to be better than this.
Right.
And so like the real time, because I think the cell phone is the death and demise of human civilization.
Okay.
Yeah. I really do. I think I talk about it in, we used to do a class down there, not to get off track, situational awareness.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the box of death. The
box of death.
Yeah.
Because, no, seriously, talk about it. I want to, like.
Because it sucks you in.
Yeah.
And when it sucks you in, you know, in the military, we always talk about, like, breaking that fog of war, getting out of the tunnel vision when you're on the battle space. Bro, this little 4-inch device right here takes more time and attention, and I'm guilty of it. Dude, don't get me wrong. And you ask my wife.
Well, we all are, I imagine, right? Like, yeah.
But it's a 4-inch box of death. It's killing brain cells. It's programming children's brains.
Yeah.
And like, the fix that people need.
It's like a drug, right?
This is worse than any drug. And I've done drugs. I've done some drugs. This is worse than anything. Anything. You get a girl that just turned 18, started an OnlyFans, and did $3.7 million in one fucking day.
Fucked. Yeah. That's insane.
Bro.
What's going on with the culture? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with the world?
What culture?
That's true. Yeah.
Because these phones and the apps and the real time across the world has degraded Americans, and they're not even Americans, just humanity's ability to break the perception of reality and fantasy. And because it happens in real time.
Yeah.
And so this little 4-inch box of death right here, how many people have died in vehicle accidents? Texting. Yeah, way more than guns.
Right. Oh yeah.
But you want to come after my guns? Let's go out to our cell phone. Oh, we can't do that because how do we spew our propaganda? How do we take whatever side of whatever you want to be on,
spin it
and then pump thousands of dollars into it so that we alter algorithms so that you see it constantly. And you're just like shoving it down your throat and like, dude, like,
yeah,
it literally, it's like, and you know, there's crazy shit out there now where like, yeah, they're talking about, oh, well, you'll come a point where like, you know, you'll have a cell phone chip embedded in you. Like, get fucked. No way.
That's wild.
I don't even like the fact that they can control my vehicle. And when I say they, I don't even know who they is, but I know that if you go out and buy a modern vehicle.
One of those push start ones, you know, you don't have to put the key in or whatever. Yeah.
I don't even think that really matters. I think you can probably go back into the 15, 16s. There's so much electronics on it. I got a vehicle right now, a Ford. It's just sitting at a Ford dealership. The engineers are working on it from Detroit. So you mean to tell me that there's no way that if they don't want a diesel vehicle driving, that they can just not let my truck start? Bullshit. And so, like, I think, you know, call it conspiracy, call it whatever, but, like, come on, man. You got to think, and like, you watch the phones and you're watching this shit happen. Like, you know, that chick that just got shot out there in Minnesota. Like,
yeah, that's a hot take. That's a hot topic no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, I have my stance on it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that other people have their stance on it. But here's the part that doesn't jive.
Okay.
Within hours, thousands of people are there to protest. How? They're showing, like, moving trucks with supplies and shit. Yeah. Come on.
It's got to be money behind it. You know,
there has it's premeditated. Like, I don't care how you feel about the situation. Remove emotion.
Yeah.
Remove emotion. Let's just take a factual. Let's take a factual thing. Woman was shot by an ICE agent. Within 3 hours, thousands of people show up to protest. And then there is live imagery of U-Haul trucks preloaded with supplies to facilitate a protest. That is not a coincidence. That does not occur in the real world. That is pre-fucking meditated. And if you can't emotionally detach from what that black box of death is programming you to do, you're the fucking problem. Period.
You gotta be a critical thinker. You have to think outside the box and look at, like you said, look at things, take a step back and look at it and really analyze it. That's a great point.
Yeah. And just remove emotion.
Yeah.
Look, it's not an emotional decision. I don't care how you feel about ICE. I don't care how you feel about some crazy lady that tried to drive a vehicle on a dude. I don't really care. The facts are the facts. Lady in car, was told to exit car, did not, stepped on accelerator in the general direction, the immediate vicinity of a human being, not ICE. Don't label it. A human being.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because guess what? In Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania, is a stand your ground state, Castle Doctrine state. So if I'm in the Turkey Hill parking lot down the road and some dude's giving me a bunch of shit and I'm walking out to my vehicle and then he wants to weaponize his vehicle.
Run you over, yeah.
I guarantee you that my Glock comes out of my waistband really fast and I'm going to execute the same way that that guy was trained to do because I want to go home.
You got a fan?
That guy wanted to go home. It's self-defense.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or don't like it and don't like who it was against who it was or how it was propped or how it was set up and how it unfolded. Like, cool, that's great. That's emotional. Yeah. Doesn't really fucking matter. And that's the Marine Corps. That's what I love. The ability to be like, just look at the facts. Look at the facts. Remove your emotion. Let's talk facts. And let's come up with something. Whatever you need it to be. You want a resolution? Cool. Factually speaking, this is the scenario. Come up with a training doctrine. Okay? Like, don't just say, well, they hate people. Like, okay, that you sound like an infant. Right. You sound like my toddler. Like, no, you can't have a snack. Well, you're not invited to my birthday party.
Yeah.
Cool, dude. Cool, yeah, appreciate it, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah. I guess you won't have one.
Right. Because you won't have one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. Daddy, I'm going to have one.
Turn just, that real quick. Yeah.
No, I'm going to have one. You just can't come.
Yeah. Like,
that's what grown adults in 2026 sound like. Sound like a fucking toddler. Because it can't emotionally detach from things.
It's a box of death.
Yeah. And that's what that is, man.
Yeah.
Like that you want to talk about what's really terrifying in this world. It's not China, it's not Russia, it's not U.S. politics. It's what happens behind the scenes. It comes across a 4-inch fucking screen. And it's just rewriting COVID. Where I still see people by themselves driving in their car with a fucking mask on.
Don't get me started on that stuff.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
What's going on,
like,
man? What? Yeah,
I can't Pfizer even has said, like, we fucked up. And it's like, over, it's right? Killing people. Like, my bad.
You can take the
mask off. And you're still driving around and the best part is they're like not like gas masks or like N95s. Like, but dude, you have a piece of silk across your face. Like,
it's not really stopping anything. Yeah, let's be honest, at this point, you know.
Yeah. That was the beauty of owning a business during COVID. I was like, fuck that. No way. Bro, we were the one. No masks. No bullshit.
It's common sense.
America. I'm not allowed to ask you your medical shit. Same way you're not allowed to ask me my medical shit. If right. I feel like I'm not going to get sick, guess what? I'm not going to wear a face condom because that's what they wear.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, probably condoms are more effective in preventing disease than a fucking mask across your face.
I'd say 100%.
Yeah. I don't know what the stats are on that, but I'm sure that we could probably pull a study. I remember
health class. I said that was pretty like a 99%.
Yeah.
If you wore
it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're pretty good, bro.
Yeah, you're
like,
pretty good.
You put a little diaper across your face, like, you're probably going to get COVID. I don't care what you say. But, you know, like, you watch. Like, and that was to go off on a different tangent. Like, you know, we're doing, I'm a small business. I got a mortgage to pay. March 13th was my birthday. March 13th is when the governor said, shut it down. And I can remember sitting in my office at I think it was like 5 o'clock crying, like hard crying.
Falling. Yeah.
I'm going to lose everything.
It's your life.
You're going to lose everything because guess what? The bank don't give a fuck that it's COVID.
That's true.
Yeah. They want their money. My vendors don't give a fuck that it's COVID. They want their money. But my governor is saying, you got to close your door. You're non-essential. Fucked.
That was wild.
And so I remember that day, I pulled myself together. I walked out. And I mean, there was people in there like already. Like it was getting ramped up. And so I pulled all my, I looked at everybody in there. I said, no one fucking steal anything. I said, we have to have a staff meeting. Emergency. We went into our members lounge and I told everybody, I said, call every single employee we know. We're open till midnight and we're going to run it till the wheels come off.
Yeah.
At midnight, we were doing 60 gun transfers. The entire range was fucking full.
I believe it. Yeah.
And it didn't matter if it wasn't bolted down and could go bang or it facilitated the bang. They were buying
it. Was
it.
Gone.
Yeah, and it was chaos. Well, so we run all this shit. Well, you know, the background check system is crashing. But legally, if I run a background check on you, I legally have to facilitate the rest of the deal.
Yeah.
Even if it's not on that day. And I can remember I come into work on Tuesday and I didn't tell anybody to show up. I told all the guys, I was like, listen, like, I don't know what's about to happen here. So like, if you guys don't want to come, like, don't worry about it. So I get there at like 9 o'clock every single
fucking. They're all there.
They're all there.
Ride or die. Yeah.
There's 100 people in my parking lot.
Holy shit.
I'm like, what are you guys doing? We couldn't get here yesterday. And I was like, fuck it. We're open. And I jumped on my social media against everybody's recommendation.
Yeah.
It said, until the government says they're going to pay my bills, we're open. Proceed with caution.
You know they're not going to do that. Yeah.
And so, dude, we were open. And, like, then it got wild, wild. Like, the... Yeah, go from March, April, May, like probably May, like when the lockdown shit was just nuts, right? Yeah, we were open. No masks. Range open. No fucks. It was like being in a living time capsule. Because like, you know, that's what me and my wife would talk about all the time. Like I would leave work and I'm still like pre-COVID. Like I'm like December, you know, of 2019 in my mind and in my life. And then I'm like, hey, yeah, I don't feel like cooking. Let's go to dinner. And I show up and I got to put a face diaper on to walk 4 feet to sit down at my table. But then I can take my diaper off.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
This makes.
If you stand up, you got to put it on.
Right? By the way. God forbid. God forbid. Yeah, like it was just like chaos. And so, but for the business, we were killing it. I mean, we were just printing money. And. You know, one of the scary things was, you know, I watched 9mm, you know, my cost, we'll say, was like $8 a box, March 13th.
Yeah, price of ammo went.
April 13th, it went to $32.
Yeah.
In 30 days.
What? That's what you were paying.
Yeah, it was like a 5X.
That's why my buddy and I stopped going to the range, because
price of
ammo was through the roof.
We didn't get real crazy with it, because...
I'm not saying you guys, but I'm just saying
in
general.
I got real crazy with a move, and I cold called someone, like, early... In the COVID.
Okay.
And I bought 2 million rounds of 9mm sight unseen and wired the money.
Holy shit.
It, like big boy money too.
I was like, that's, yeah, you're not kidding.
And I'm just like, well, and I didn't have it. So I had to go to friends and I borrowed the money.
Damn.
And they're like, are you sure about this? I was like, I'm as sure can be. I said, but I could tell you this. If we don't get it, we're done. And so we set the wire.
That was a good bet, you know, that worked out.
Then we got the confirmation the wire was received.
Ammo was good.
They sent me a bill of lading. You know, it's coming out of Utah, so it takes like seemed like forever. And I'm there, I am sweating bullets. Like,
right.
Yeah, and then five tractor trailers pulled in my parking lot.
Five tractor trailers.
Yeah, tell me it takes like 2 million. Jeez. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
And so then we had so much, I couldn't even fit it all in there. Ride ammo everywhere. Everywhere. I'm like, whoa, shit. And so we started cold calling up and down the East Coast to gun ranges. Hey, man, you got any 9mm sale? Yeah, one box. What are you selling a box for? $75 a box. Let me talk to the manager or the owner. They're like, what do you got? And I'm like, yo, I'm selling 9mm. Yeah, fuck you. Hang up the phone. You don't have to call them right back and be like, yo, no, I'm serious. Like, give me a manager or an owner, and I have an iPhone, and I will FaceTime you, and I will show you.
Show you, yeah.
And these dudes out of Arkansas bought 750,000 rounds.
Wow.
Yep. Because they couldn't get it anywhere. Local gun shops.
Local gun
shops. Your traps. They called me every day. I was like, nah, I'm not selling you any.
Yeah.
Some of the other local gun shops, I was like, yeah, I'll sell you something. The traps, no.
So,
yeah.
Is there some kind of bad blood there if I'm asked?
Nah, just, I didn't agree with a lot of things that they did.
Yeah.
And they were my direct competition. Okay. The gun shops really, they're a gun shop. Yeah. They have their loyal customers that aren't going to come to me. My loyal customers aren't going to go to them. I can still make a little bit of money, and they can try to limp their way through whatever shitstorm. But like a gun range locally, fuck you. Because I'll take all your customers.
Nice.
Yeah, that's business.
Play for keeps.
Yeah. We win. And, but yeah, dude, it was crazy. Like, and the fact that here we are 6 years removed, people still walking around. Now, if you got a medical condition or like whatever, but like if you're alone in your fucking car, like, come on, bro.
Why?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Put the Kool-Aid down.
Yeah. Put the box down.
Put the box down. Go find Jesus.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. Try something different.
Yeah. Because what you're doing, bro.
Yeah.
So, and I just, and like, I don't like to like talk shit about people like about that, like, because I think medically and religiously and politically, one is free to do whatever they please to do. It doesn't mean that we can't judge you and form opinions about it. But like, I'm just really glad that like I get to raise my child. Because my child is going to grow up to be even keel. And like you said, critical thinker, and that's a lost art.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Lost art in today's world.
Big time. Big time. Let's take a sip break.
Yeah, bud.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
Hey, if I'd been in here a whiskey guy, I would have brought you some good whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, we can crack a little bit open if you want. Oh, I got glasses over there.
I ain't never scared to drink.
I love it. All right, hold on.
This is sweet, though. I've never seen this box.
Actually, you know what? I will take a piss.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Yeah. Anyway, you want to crack open a little bit?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Do you want ice?
I will take a couple pieces. What hashtag do you use for your podcast?
Oh, I use American Grown Podcast, hashtag American Podcast. Or I use both that and hashtag let's tell your story. I use that.
Okay.
Damn. It's been a while since I drank with anybody on the podcast. This is a great fucking morning here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Great way to start Saturday. Cheers.
Yeah,
brother.
Cheers.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, that does taste good, too. I hit the spot.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
that is
it's
nice,
just
huh?
like, you just
that's
need,
nice.
Like, that's what me and my buddies will do. Because I started drinking now, I probably will hit up one of my friends on the way home.
Yeah.
Fire in the garage? Normally it involves like a bar. Yeah. I got a big pole barn.
Nice.
A wood stove in there. And,
shit. Fire in the garage.
Yeah, we garage party. And so.
Yeah.
That's case awesome. Of Busch Light, bottle of scotch.
Oh, yeah.
We got TVs out there. Like, we'll put the football games on.
Let's
shit.
Go.
Yeah, we just sit there and just hang out.
Dang.
Indiana put that ass whooping on last night.
Yeah.
Man, wow. That's crazy. 56 to like 10 or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
Against Oregon.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, it was
unheard
not,
of.
I was not expecting that one.
Right, so we're good. Let me just make sure. All right.
Yeah, I tagged you in a little sneak peek.
Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah.
I was like, damn. I was like, he didn't say nothing. Like, I don't know where to fucking go.
yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
where the fuck do I go?
I'm like, dude, like, I'm down for this, but like, I need something more than Lebanon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, just general area. You know?
Yeah. Like, I just need a little something more than Lebanon.
Yeah. So let's, we'll get back, get set up here.
Put that I don't there. Remember where we were. I don't even remember. Where
no,
we're.
I got.
Oh, I think we're talking about the black box of death.
Yeah. No, I got us. I'll pick us back up because I want to make sure, you know, 717 Army, I want to talk about that. Let's make sure the mic's good.
Yep, test one, test.
All right, yeah, okay. So that didn't change. We're still good there. Sometimes you bump these things just a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's like out of whack, but no, we're good. All right. Yeah, again, let's cheers.
First, yeah, cheers, man.
Drink on the podcast in a while, so appreciate that.
That is a good whiskey.
Again, shout out to my buddy Dylan for the awesome glasses he gifted me. They got the American Grown podcast etched on there. So he's a pretty cool dude. I like him. He's a good guy. So, yeah, for the listeners, let's kind of jump back in. We covered, like, early childhood. We covered your time in the service as a Marine. Kind of went off on a tangent about the black box of death there. Which it's so true, right? And it's in everybody's pockets. I mean, sometimes I feel like it's almost a part of me. My phone. We're talking about your phones for the listeners. Maybe you missed the first hour of this podcast, but welcome back. So sometimes, you got to put the phone down. Get one with nature. And to pick back up, I want to really segue into 717 Armory. I know we touched about it at the very beginning. But let's talk about how'd that get started? I know you mentioned it was on a napkin in a bar. You don't have the original napkin. You threw it away or whatever happened to it. It'd be great if you did.
That'd
be
crazy, man. And it was so cliche.
Frame that up. That's how all great businesses start, don't they? It's either a basement, a garage, or
bar napkin.
On a napkin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It was something, man. Yeah. Like, no formal education. Okay. Yeah. So I'll give you a quick synopsis. Marine. Private security contractor, got hurt over there. major shoulder surgery, couldn't come back to work, took a decent sized settlement. At the time, I was living with my girlfriend down in Maryland and got offered an opportunity to take on a global sales position in the defense industry with a product I'm very familiar with from my military. So I started doing that and basically, it was all over the country and the world building, like, gun ranges.
Okay.
Using this product called a HESCO barrier. And got married on, like, a Saturday and Monday. Said, fuck you, I quit.
Damn.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They called me a liar. And I don't do liars and I don't do thieves.
Okay.
That's the thing.
They didn't believe you. They thought you were bluffing.
Well, no, they just, they're like, it was about expenses. And, like, it's a British company.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's a British-owned company, and they're like, how do you rack up, like, $20,000 in airline tickets? I'm like, you can leave your country, fly across an ocean, and go through customs before I can leave my airport and land on the other side of my country. That's how.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll call me on a Monday and be like, hey, Wednesday, you need to be in Northern California. Like, so
there's a cost to that.
Tickets $7,000. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
And so it just didn't work out. But, like, all things happen for a reason. And then I was a commercial farmer. You know, that was back in the day of Craigslist. And, I was just like, fuck, I need to do something.
Yeah.
And father-son operation, they farmed, like, 4,000 acres down in northern Maryland. If it has a motor, I can drive it. And so I just rolled up there. I was like, hey, man, I want to work. Not the cheapest, but I can work and I know what I'm doing. And, I was working with those guys and told him about this idea that I had about going, in Pennsylvania, I want to open this gun range, blah, blah, blah. And they're cool. They started it up. They get it. Like, as long as I, not during the harvest.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like, hey, I got to run, supported me along the way. Big shout out to Hunter Mill Farms down there. Dan and Steve, great guys. And then just went to work. Like, didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
My uncle was my CFO, pivotal. He passed away a couple years ago to cancer in the middle of all of it. So that was hard on the armory, on me. My dad is my vice president. My mom.
Yeah.
hit the armory hard, and went to him. Was like, "Yo, help me put a business plan together. Where do I get funding? How do I do this?" And he kind of just helped me along the way. somehow they approved it. And they're like, "Sure, here you go. Fuck it, here we go."
Yeah,
yeah. And we built it and opened it up. And yeah, a lot of people say that they went to the School of Hard Knocks. I am summa cum laude.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
the hard knocks.
You are, yeah. You are. Yeah,
and it knocks. Was yeah. brutal. I mean, 2018, Trump's first term, everything's swimming. And then it just went sideways. Like, it didn't even go sideways. I mean, it went off the fucking rails hard. COVID, Biden administration, George Floyd, race riots, everything. Yeah, I got funded through the SBA, which is awesome. Awesome thing that our government provides. People that want to start businesses, it's a variable rate. So when you go from 4% interest to 11 in like a year and a half.
Jeez. Yeah.
Fucked.
You're fucked, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was hard knocks, man. Hard knocks. And filed bankruptcy, grinded through that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. If you're out there and you need to file bankruptcy, liquidate everything first. Get rid of all of it. Because the amount of money you spend on lawyers and shit to tell people you don't have any money is fucking absurd. Absurd. It's unreal. Like, I feel bad. I don't wish that upon anybody. And it was rough, man. And then, you know, with the PTSD and all the other bullshit that I carry along with me, and there were some dark, dark days. And I think we never gave up. We never, it might have looked like it when you walked into my store, but like when I had to choose between payroll and buying guns, I chose my guys. I pay payroll.
Yeah.
I foregone, I don't even know how many paychecks to make sure that the dudes that were coming in there to try to keep the lights on could keep their lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you just learned a lot. I mean, you learn a lot about who you are, what you do, you know. And the part that broke my heart, all of it, was walking in. A customer walks in,
yeah,
and I don't have what they want. Killed me. And I just couldn't get it. I just didn't have the money, didn't have the means, didn't have the infrastructure, didn't have any of it.
Yeah,
and just some gunslinger that got a lot of money and was like, "Yo, fuck it, let's give this a try."
Yeah.
And then the fire.
Stay tuned next week, Wednesday morning, for part 3. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with 2 kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.